And we're holding at the top of Mem Beis Amud Aleph. Mishnah says, Hamudu Hano Mechaveiro Lifnei Shvius. Suppose that one person is, as we've been talking about throughout the Perek, where Reuven is also to have Hano from Shimon by Neder, and this Neder took place before Shvius, before Shmita. So now, Eina Yoda B'Seich Sadehu. So now he's not allowed to, so even doing Shmita, then he wouldn't be allowed to go into Reuven's field. Now like this, doing Shmita, everything in the fields is Hefker. So normally other people are allowed to go into your field during Shmita in order to eat the fruit, in order to eat the fruit and pick the produce that's there. But now that Shimon is also to have enough from Reuven, then he's also even to walk into the field. The Ran points out, we learned at the beginning of the Perek, we said there's the concept of vitur also b'modur hana. We said that according to Rabbi Eliezer, and we said many of the Mishnayos in our Perek go like him, and the halacha is like him, that when it comes to modur hana, even vitur, even the small kind of hana that most people wouldn't care about is also when it comes to a modur hana. Therefore, just him walking into his field, even though most people wouldn't mind it, would be also doing Shmita for the Mudr, for Shimon. With that, so that's how the Ran learns. The Shulchan Aruch Kubetzes actually says that really it could even work according to the Chachamim, because we're talking about, for example, the kind of thing where it's more than just vitur. You're talking about, let's say there's grain in it. Usually people don't want people walking through it. So it's not just a matter of vitur, a tiny little thing that most people don't mind. Here, most people do mind people walking through their fields when it's full of produce. And therefore, so that definitely would be a hana, which is also to a mudur hana. And the Mishnah said, and the ena oichol min anotis, he also not only is he not allowed to eat from the fruit, so he's not allowed to go into the field to pick the fruit. He's not even allowed to eat from the fruit that's hanging out of the field over the roads. You have the branches of a tree are overhanging the road. You don't even need to go into the field to pick those fruit. Nevertheless, he'd be also to take those fruit as well. Because we're going to discuss in the Gemara the details about it. But right now, the assumption is that we're saying that we're going to have a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel and Rish Lakish and Rav Yechanan on this. Right now, to keep things simple, let's assume that it means that even doing Shmita, he would be also to take that food. Uvashvius, what if the neder was made doing Shmita itself? So if the neder was made during Shmita itself, any yerid l'sech sedehu, he's still not allowed to go into his field because that still would be in effect. Duris asarego would still be also. Avo oichel huminan minan atias hanoites, but he would be allowed to eat from the fruit that's overhanging outside the field. Goes Abach takes out the word hanatias and just says hanoites to be consistent with the earlier part of the Mishnah. Whatever, the point is he's allowed to eat from the fruit that's hanging out from the field. As after all, the fruit doesn't belong to him, it's Hefter. Now, this is all, the first half of the Mishnah so far was talking about Hamudur Hanah Mechaver. So he's also in any kind of Hanah. Now, we learned at the beginning of the Perek that you can also have where you're only Mudur Meichel, where you're only under a neder to not have Hanah of food or of things that are going to lead to food. So Nader Hemenu Meichel Lifnishri is if the neder was that he's only not going to have hana of food from him, and the neder was made before Shmita. Yerid l'sech sedehu, then he can go into the field because now he's only also in hana of food. Therefore, going into the field is not considered that kind of hana. We said at the beginning of the parak that a mudur hemenu meichel is allowed drisa saregel. He is allowed to walk into the other person's property. So therefore, the same thing over here. The ena oichel min haperes, however, he's still not allowed to eat from the peiros because that would be hanas meichel. That would be hanah of food. Uvashvius, if the neder was made during shmita itself, then everything is mutter yored v'oichel. Then he's allowed to go in there and he's allowed to eat because the going in is mutter no matter what. It's not hanas meichel, and the eating it's not his because it's hefker. So the point is, in other words, that even though Tosfos explains, in other words, even though normally going into his field might be also as Hana Hamavir Lidei Michael. And after all, it's something that brings him to Michael, that brings him to be able to eat. But over here, after all, during Shemitah, not only is the fruit hefker, the field itself is hefker in the sense that you're allowed to go in there and eat. Therefore, since the meichel itself is mutter, since the eating itself is mutter, so is the going. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to present a machloikas where the initial assumption, and that's going to be throughout the sugya, the initial assumption is going to be that both we're going to have two sets of amiroyim on each side, and the assumption is going to be that both of them are trying to explain on Mishnah, are trying to explain what the scenario of on Mishnah is. And then we're going to discuss it at some length, and we're going to come to a conclusion whether, in fact, that's the case. So the Gemara says, Rav Shmuel da Amitavayu. Rav and Shmuel both say that the case of on Mishnah is Nechosim Elu Alecha Lifnei Nechosim Elu Alecha, where the person is saying, where Reuven is saying to begin with to Shimon, these Nechosim are also to you. So he says these nechosim, and the point is, what does he mean? What happens when these nechosim are no longer his, as we're going to discuss? Because after all, during Shemitah, that's the case. These nechosim don't belong to him because they're considered hefker. The Rosh also adds that actually it might even be, even if he doesn't say elu, really only if he says nechosai, he says my nechosim. Either way, the question is, does that still remain in effect when they're no longer his? So lifnei shvius. So Rav and Shmuel understand that if this took place before shvius, ein yored l'seich sadehu, then Shimon is not allowed to go into Reuven's field. The ein oichel min anoitus, and he's not allowed to eat from the fruit that overhangs. And that means afal pishi gia shvius. That means not only is he not allowed, he's not allowed to do that the rest of the years, but even though Shmita comes and now the fruit is hefter, nevertheless, since at the time that the neder took place, the neder was able to be in effect, then therefore it remains in effect during Shemitah as well. So in other words, the Ran says, so far we would say, according to Rav and Shmuel, that each part of the Mishnah is teaching us a different din and a different chiddush. The Reisha is teaching us that even though that the Reisha is teaching us because the neder took place before Shavuos, therefore it's in effect during Shavuos as well. We don't say that Shavuos cancels it because now the food is after. And the Sefer is telling us that the Sefer, that is to say, the Sefer of the Reisha, Mashvius Eni Yored L'Seich Sadehu, the fact that during Shemitah he's not allowed to go into the field, but he is able to eat from the Noitus, from the fruit that's hanging out, it's saying, even though it's true the Neder is not Chal on the Peiros, because the Peiros are Heftu, he can't answer them, it is still Chal on the land, for reasons that the Gemara is going to discuss on Omid Beis. So that's according to Rav and Shmuel. So V'im Bashvius Nader, So if he made the neder before Shvius, he's not allowed to do anything. And if afal pi shehigia Shvius, even though Shvius has come, the imba Shvius neder, and if, on the other hand, the neder was made during Shmita, ein yored l'seich sadeh, he's not allowed to go into the field, avol oichel min anoitus, but he's allowed to eat from the fruit that hangs out of the field. So according to Rav and Shmuel, the Mishnah is talking about these respective cases, as we assume when we first learned the Mishnah, that the first case is talking about the neder was made before Shemitah and now comes Shemitah. And the second one is talking about where the neder was made during Shemitah itself. On the other hand, Rav Yechanan and Rish Lakish to Amitavayu. On the other hand, Rav Yechanan and Rish Lakish learn differently. They say, Nechosai Alecha, that if Reuven says, "My nechosim are also to you." And according to the Rosh, this is the according to the Rosh who said that even that Rav and Shmuel said nechosim elu alecha, but really there's no difference whether he says that or whether he says nechosay alecha. So it sounds like Rav Yechanan and Rish Lakish are directly arguing with Rav and Shmuel. Even according to the Ran has a very long explanation over here where he explains that the Gemara at this point is assuming that the actual detail, whether he said Nechosim Elu or Nechosai Elu, or whether he just said Nechosai, doesn't really make a difference. So it sounds like Rav Yechanan and Rish Lakish are arguing with Rav and Shmuel. So they say Nechosai Alecha, that if he says, my Nechosim are also to you, Lifnei Shavuos, and it happens before Shavuos, then sure, Ein Yored L'Seich Sadeh V'Ein Oichel Min Anoitus, then it's true that before Shemitah, he's not allowed to go into the field or eat from the fruit that's hanging out. But he gives Shvius, But Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish would say, when Shemitah comes, even though the neder was made before Shemitah, nevertheless, Shemitah partially cancels out that neder and makes it any year l'sech sedeu. He can't go into the field, but he is allowed to eat the fruit that's hanging out. So the nafkamina, in other words, between Rav and Shmuel on the one hand and Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish on the other, is the neder was made before Shemitah, now comes Shemitah. Is he allowed to eat from the fruit? According to Rav and Shmuel, the Mishnah is telling us no. According to Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, we're saying that yes, he would be able to. The only thing he'd be also in that case would be to go into the field. And if the neder was made during Shvius, then Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are not explicitly dealing with that case. But we would say the same thing, that he is allowed to eat the fruit. So the Ran gets into a very long explanation over here of explaining why the Gemara is assuming at this point that Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are addressing the Mishnah. And why it is that according to them there wouldn't be a difference in the exact lashon that he used. Basically, the machlokas would boil down to, when we have something that was also by a neder, does it become mutter when now it goes out of his rishus? So Rav and Shmuel would hold that yes, it still remains also, even though it's left as rishus, and Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish would be holding that not.
From a field where he's not allowed to penetrate.
Well, that's what we just said. There's the noitus, there's the fruit that hangs over the road or hangs over the boundary or whatever, which he'd be able to. So now, but the Mishnah had said that so far what we're saying is Rav and Shmuel understand the Mishnah to be talking about when it says lifnei shvius versus bashvius, refers to the actual time of year, that refers to the actual year when he wants to eat. He wants to eat before Shemitah versus he wants to eat during Shemitah. And according to them, we're talking about even though the neder was made before Shemitah. Whereas according to Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, we would understand that lifnei shvius and bashvius refers to when was the neder made. That if the neder was made before shvius, according to them, it would also mean when the neder was made and when right now we're talking about. They would say that it means lifnei shvius. Let me rephrase that. According to Rav and Shmuel, what we're saying is lifnei shvius and over shvius refers to when the neder was made. So the case of lifnei shvius in the Mishnah would mean the neder was made before shvius. And when we say any yerd v'seich sadeh over ein oichom and anotus would mean that he's never allowed to go into the field or eat from the peiros, even though now it's shmita and the peiros are hefker, because since the neder was made before shmita and it was able to take effect then on the peiros, because at that point of course the peiros belonged to Reuven, then therefore it remains in effect even though shmita has come. Only if the neder to begin with was made during Shemitah, then Rav and Shmuel would say it would be different. Then he'd be allowed, again, he can't go into the field, but he can pick the fruit that's hanging out from the field. That's according to Rav and Shmuel. According to Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, effectively what we're saying is lifnei shvius and over shvius refers to when he's actually eating the fruit. It doesn't matter when the neder was made. Even though the neder was made before Shemitah, they're saying, comes Shemitah, he's still allowed to eat from the fruit. From the notice, that is, again, fine, he can't go into the field, but he can eat from the note for reasons that we're going to discuss on Amud Beis, but he is allowed to eat from the notice. So the Ran has a long discussion of why the Gemara is assuming that Rabbi Yochanan and Rav and Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are all referring to our Mishnah, and then why are we assuming they're referring to the case of our Mishnah rather than, as the Gemara is going to say, something later on they may be talking about a slightly different case. And he discusses because this way the Mishnah is actually telling us a chiddush, and he goes on with a long explanation about it. The point is so far we're saying the machlokas boils down to if Reuven had made the neder when the fruit still belonged to him before Shemitah. Now does that neder still stay in effect when the fruit no longer belongs to him, namely during Shemitah? According to Rav and Shmuel, yes. According to Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, no. There is incidentally a point in this connection that the stipler discusses in his Sefer Kehilas Yaakov. He says, when he made the neder, the peiros of Shemitah don't exist yet. They're dovah shaloi bol olam. And by the time they grow, they won't be in his reshus, because as soon as they grow, they're fruit of Shemitah. Nevertheless, he says, the fact is, we're going to learn later on in the Masechta, we're going to learn about the concept of gidulim. We're going to talk about if you have that a certain fruit is also with a neder, or the gidulim of it, or the fact that you plant a seed from that fruit and grows into another fruit, is that also, we're going to discuss that at some length later on in the Masechta. So now, our thing over here is based on this idea of gidulim. And he points out also in that connection, there may be a difference between the gedulim from a fruit versus the gedulim of a piece of land. Here we're talking about the piece of land remains also, therefore there might be more reason to say that the gedulim from it also remain also, even though they didn't exist at the time of the neder, as opposed to when we talk about a fruit, where you plant a seed from that fruit and gedulim come from it, maybe that would be different because after all, the seed disintegrates in the ground, or most kinds of seeds disintegrate in the ground, so that might be a difference. We're going to learn later on in the sector, we're going to learn in the late nuns, we're going to talk about all about this matter of gedulim and so forth as it applies to nedarim. Anyway, so the stipler says that would be, even though it's dovah shaloi bala olam, the neder is on the gedulim of this land, and the land still continues to exist during Shemitah, and even though to a certain extent the land is considered hefker, nevertheless he has the power, according to Rav and Shmuel, to say that the fruit that grows from it during Shemitah should also remain also to Shimon. Again, according to Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish, so far we would be saying that no. So the Gemara says, Lema b'hokam iflagi. Well, should we say that that's the fundamental machlokas between the two sets of Amoraim? The Rav Shmuel Sabri, Odom Osa Dovah Shemirushosei, Afilo Lachshiyetz Merushosei. Exactly that. It sounds like Rav and Shmuel hold that a person can aser something that is in his Rishos even after it goes, and that iser remains in effect even when it goes out of his Rishos. Meanwhile, Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish would hold that he doesn't have the ability to do that. So Rav and Shmuel might be taking the view that it's sort of like hektish. If I declare something hektish, then it remains hektish even if it changes hands until somebody buys it back from hektish. So they would argue the same thing is true over here, and Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish would be disagreeing. So the Ran discusses here and on Amud Beis that now there is a case we're going to learn later on. Where, for example, a person says that this house of mine is also for you to go in. So then we talk about if he sells it to somebody else, then it becomes mutter. But then you can draw a distinction over there. So right now the Gemara is assuming that Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish would be saying that our Mishnah has to be talking about a case to say that it's mutter. Otherwise, there's no greater chiddush in our Mishnah compared to the Mishnah that we're going to learn later on about the way he says that you're also to go into this field or into this house or the other way around, where Reuven says, I make a neder that I won't go into your house. And we say that if then Shimon goes and sells the house, it's mutter. So now, if we were going to say in our Mishnah that all it is that he's now allowed to eat from the fruit, then there wouldn't be much of a chiddush in it. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish were saying, are assuming not only when he says nechosai, my nechosim, which would be the same as that later case of the Mishnah, but even when he just says generically nechosim elu, these nechosim, still we would say that they hold that once it goes out of his reshus, then the neder is no longer in effect, and Rav and Shmuel would be disagreeing.
When although he has sold his chametz before Pesach, during Pesach, he still doesn't have the right to have access to it when it belongs to a goy.
Well, that's exactly it, because he sold it. No, here we're talking about something else. Here we're saying, for example, if Reuven says to Shimon, I am making myself also to go into this house of yours. So now if Shimon sells the house, then it's not his anymore. So obviously nobody has the right to take over the house without Shimon's permission. Well, when you sell your chametz to the goy, it belongs fully to the goy. Of course, you don't have any access to it. We're not talking about that.
Well, then he here in this case, he made the whatever he made the neder on does not belong to him anymore. So he shouldn't have a right to have access to it.
But we're not talking about, what we're talking about is that here we're talking about a lack of access as a result of a neder. So Reuven had made a neder, I will not go into your house, Shimon. Well, it's not Shimon's house anymore. But here in our Gemara, we're talking about over here where again, the fruit or the land or whatever at the time belonged to Shimon. Now comes Shemitah, it no longer belongs to him because it's Hefker, it's Shemitah. So now the question is the neder that was done before Shvius still effective in preventing Reuven from eating that fruit? Rav and Shmuel say yes, Rav Yechanan and Rish Lakish say no. So again, the Ran says they would say the whole point is we have to assume if our Mishnah was only talking about Nechosai Alecha, where he says my Nechosim are also to you, then Rav Yechanan and Rish Lakish would say there's no Chiddush in our Mishnah. The case that we're going to learn in the next parak, which the Gemara is going to bring later on in our sugya, about where he says that I won't go into your house, is a greater chiddush because the house still continues to exist. And Shimon has it, you know, fine, he sold it to Levi, but he always has the option of buying it back. And still, we say that once he sold it, then the neder goes away. The effect of the neder goes away. How much more so over here, where there's no way for Shimon to reacquire this fruit during Shemitah? That is why the Gemara is assuming at this point that Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish would be saying their din, even not only when he says my nechasim, but even when he just generically says these nechasim. Nevertheless, Shemitah takes that away and then makes it they're not. Considered in effect, in a certain sense, they're not considered these nechasim, and therefore that he's mutter because he has no, not because they're not considered these nechasim, but rather because Shimon has no ability to assu them to Reuven because they're not his. They're not his to assu during Shemitah. So yeah, it's not really the same thing as selling chametz, where there we're not talking about nedarim, they were talking about regular dinim mominus. Here we're dealing with matters of nedarim. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says, fine, but if that's how you understand the machloikas, that the fundamental machloikas is, again, Shimon has made something of his osur. Does it remain osur when he loses rights to it? The tisbara. The Gemara asks, how could you think that's the meaning of the machloikas? Mi ikal manda omar. How could you say that anybody holds that a person is not able to ask for something that was in his rishus and that it should remain also when it goes out of his rishus? If you're going to say that anybody holds like that, if you're going to say that Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish argue about that, then let them argue specifically the case where he says nechosim elu, where he doesn't even use the word nechosai, which would mean my nechosim. So where when he says nechosim elu sounds like a stronger lashon. He's saying that the iser is on the nechosim themselves. Where again, the Ran says right now the Gemara is assuming that even though they use the word nechosai alecha, they didn't mean specifically only if he says nechosai alecha. At this point, the Gemara is assuming the fact that he just say nechosim alecha, the same din would be. Well, then let them argue specifically in that case where he says nechosim elu. And we would say that it means, even though it sounds like the issur remains on the nechosim even when they're not in his rishus, nevertheless, they would say that not. V'choshkin min nechosai. And then we would understand all the more so when he says nechosai, because then they're for sure not in his rishus. The fact that Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish use the word nechosai. Now, fine, the Ran is saying, let's assume that right now they do mean nechosim as well. But nevertheless, if they meant to argue just on this point of whether the issur remains in effect after it leaves his rishus, then they should say explicitly nechosim elu, and we would understand that they, if they argue in that case, all the more so they argue about nechosai. So you can't say that that's the machlokas. The fact that they use the word nechosai, fine, maybe they include nechosim as well, but still, the very fact that they use the word nechosai seems to imply that they have another point in mind over here, not just the question of does the neder continue to be in effect after it leaves his rishus. That's first of all, the Gemara says, but two, and furthermore, we have another question. Hotnan, we learn in a Mishnah in Bava Kama, we have a clear Mishnah there that says that the person can ask for something which is in his rishus, and it remains also even after he leaves his rishus. We can show that to Tanan because we have a Mishnah, the Hot Tanan, the Adamosa, the Tanan. Namely, we learn in a Mishnah in Bava Kamma, if a person says to his son, koinam shata nanali, a koinam, a loshen of a neder, that you, of whatever you would have hanah from me, so meaning, in other words, the son is also to have hanah from the father, but the din is, the Mishnah says, mes yirashenu. When the father dies, then the son is allowed to yashen, and is allowed to have hanah from the nechasim, because then, in effect, the Ran says, he's not really having hanah from the father anymore, he's having hanah from the Yerusha, which Hashem granted to him. So, on the other hand, the Mishnah continues, b'chayav uv moisa. On the other hand, if the father says that this neder, that you will be also to have hanah from me, is when he's alive and when he's dead, then imes lo yirashenu. Then, even when the father dies, the son is not allowed to yashen. Not only is not allowed to yashin, he's not even allowed to have enough from the nechasim. So we see, in other words, that a person is able to ask for something, and the iser remains in effect even after it's not in his rishus. So that's another proof. How can Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish possibly be saying that as soon as the Paris are not in Shimon's Rishus anymore, namely when Shmita comes, then Reuven is allowed to have enough from them. How does that fit with that Mishnah in Bava Kamma? So the Gemara says, okay, fine. That question is easily deflected. Shiny Hacha Bikamale B'chayiv Reuven Moshe. It's different in that particular case because he actually says the words. Now, like this, all this time, so before, the Gemara was assuming, at least, the Ran explains, the Gemara had started with the assumption that it's never possible to ask nechasim after they leave your rishus, even if you said so explicitly. Now, the Gemara is saying, fine, at least if he says so explicitly, that's different. Fine, in order that Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are not contradicted by that Mishnah in Bava Kamma, so now we're going to modify a little bit what we said. We're going to say if he says explicitly that this neder should be in effect, even when it's not in my Rishus, then fine, it has that effect and it still remains in effect. That would explain the B'chayiv of Moshe. That still doesn't show, when he didn't say specifically one way or the other, that this should or shouldn't be in effect. He didn't say anything, what's going to happen after it leaves his Rishus. You can still argue that Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish would say that then the neder expires once it's out of his Rishus.
It implies, if you say that when he doesn't state the condition, it has an effect, then it implies that when he doesn't state the condition, it does not have an effect.
Maybe not. According to Rav and Shmuel, we're saying exactly that. We're saying that even though he didn't specify one way or the other, nevertheless, by default, it still remains in effect, even when it's not in his Rishus. The Ran, by the way, goes on to explain, now, what about that case that we just mentioned where he says, I won't go into your house? The difference is the very fact that he says your house implies that he means there's something about this house that he doesn't want to have anything to do with it. The Ran gives an example. It might be because he feels that the house has a bad mazel associated with it. So therefore, you could say that. So if he says bias zeh, he says this house, then you could say, unlike when he says your house, if he says this house also to go into, then you could say that remains in effect even when the house has changed hands. But ordinarily, we wouldn't necessarily say that. So if he's telling him you are also to have anah from me, you could argue that maybe that means only as long as it's in my rishus. But you could argue that, so that's the question. So now, when he didn't specify one way or the other, so fine, we're saying Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish at this point are going to agree because of the Mishnah in Bava Kamma that if he explicitly says that this neder remains in effect even when it's not in his Rishus, he says, for example, to his son B'chayiv or Moshe, then it's in effect. But if he doesn't say that, that would be so far what we're saying in the Machlokas. We don't have a proof against Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish from that Mishnah. However, we still have the open question that we left from before, Now, in that case, why are they using the expression nechosai olecha, where there's less of a chiddush in it? Why don't they say that the same thing would apply when he says nechosim elu olecha, or let them say that case to begin with, and that would make it very clear that they argue even in that case that they say that once it leaves as a reshus, then the neder is over. So that question is still open. So Ella, so no, you're right. You're going to have to explain the machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish differently than we were explaining until now. We're going to say Ella. You're going to say if he says the words these nechosim kula almaloi pligi, then there's no question. Then everybody would agree that in fact the neder is still in effect even after it's no longer in his reshus, because the fact that he said nechosim elu implies that it means as long as these nechosim exist, so therefore it means that so the neder is still going to be in effect regardless. So now the machlokas the other way around would be specifically when he says the word nechosai, my nechosim. So now, Rav Shmuel Savri loishna nechosim elu loishna nechosai, doesn't matter which of the two lashonis he uses, even though he says nechosai, even though he says my nechosim, so and you would think that means only as long as it's in his reshus, nevertheless, Adam Oiser, nevertheless, he's able to answer it to somebody else. Because it means that right now, so and the Ran adds, even if he said Elu, so you would think it means only these. So whether he says Elu or not, because it means the Nechosim that right now are mine, and therefore the Issa remains in effect, even though they're not his anymore. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shlokish Savi, Odom Oiser, Nechosai. Nechosim Odom Oiser Nechosai Einanam Oiser. Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish are going to make the distinction whether he says Nechosim or whether he says Nechosai. So now the Ran explains that at this point in the Gemara, we're not saying that they're understanding the Mishnah to be talking about the case of Nechosai. We're saying they're saying to Rav and Shmuel, listen, if the Tana was talking about the case where he says nechosai, then in fact the din would be that comes Shmita, he's able to eat. But then there's no chiddush in it. So therefore, the Mishnah is talking about he says nechosim elu, and therefore that would be what the Mishnah means when it says that ena yod l'seich sadeu ve'ena ochem, and I'm noticed he's now allowed to go into the field or eat from the fruit. It would mean even during Shemitah, because the neder was made beforehand. So in other words, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish would be saying, so you, Rab and Shmuel, are saying that the Mishnah is talking about when he said Nechosai. Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are saying that, no, that's not what the Mishnah is talking about. The Mishnah is talking about when he said Nechosim Elu. If he had said Nechosai, then there should be no problem of him eating it during Shemitah. Whereas Rab and Shmuel are saying that there's no difference. So the question is now, so you're telling me that there's anybody who holds that there's no difference whether you say nechosai or nechosim elu or nechosai, and either way you're saying that Rav and Shmuel are going to say that either way it's going to be also. But we learn in a Mishnah in the next parak, if Reuven says to Shimon, a koinam that I will not go into your house, sodcha shani lekeach, that I won't buy your field, mess, if now Shimon dies, osha mocher la'acher, who he sells it to somebody else, mutter, then he's mutter to go into the house or to buy the field, because now it's not your house anymore. On the other hand, sod levais ze shani nichnas, sod zu shani lekeach. But if he says, I won't go into this house, where, like the Ran said, in other words, in effect, he's saying this house has bad luck or something, therefore, I don't want to go into it, no matter who it belongs to. Or Soda Zushani Lakeach, where he says, I won't buy this field, Mesa Shemach Ralach, also, then it's going to be also, even if Shimon dies or sells it to somebody else. So we see clearly that there's a difference between the word Beischa or Beiszeh. So therefore, so by the same token, there should be a difference whether he says nechosai or nechosim. So again, we started with the assumption that Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are saying no matter which Lashon he says, it's still going to eventually, when it goes out of his Rishos, it's going to be Mutter. Then we said that doesn't work because, so we brought two questions against it, one from Svara and one from the Mishnah and Bava Kamma. So the Mishnah and Bava Kamma, we said that that's no proof. The Lashon, though, we were still questioning why they specifically use the word Nechasai rather than the bigger Chiddush Nechasim. So then we said, no, fine. We said everybody agrees when he says Nechasim that they remain also. The question if he says Nechasai, so now that would, the result of that would be that we would say that Rav and Shmuel would say that whether he says Nechasai or Nechasim, either way, it's going to be Osir. But the question is, then that's contradicted by that Mishnah about the house in the field, where it clearly implies that there's a difference, where it clearly says that there's a difference between saying your house or your field versus this house or this field. So one way or the other, we seem to not we seem to not have something that's going to work. How are we going to understand the machlokes of Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish versus Rav and Shmuel? If we're saying the machlokes is across the board, then Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish is Lashon, where they quoted the words Nechasai Alecha, doesn't seem to work because they should have said Nechasim Alecha. If you're going to say the machlokes is only when he said Nechasai Alecha, and Rav and Shmuel are going to say that even then it remains also, then you have the Mishnah in the next parak about the house and the field that contradicts it.
You're trying to compare this case to the other case between the Machlokes of...
Well, that's Rav and Shmuel, being Amiroyim, can't argue with the Mishnah. Okay, Rav, sometimes we say, can argue with the Mishnah, but still, we're not going to say that unless we really need to. So that's the question. In other words, what is the scenario where Rav and Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are arguing about where we're going to make it be able to fit with everything, with all the information that we have? We have on the one hand the Mishnah later on about the house and the field, distinguishing between my house, between your house and the house, right? So therefore, that implies that there has to be that difference. There has to be a difference applying to our case, whether he says Nechosai or Nechosim Elu. He says my Nechosim or these Nechosim. On the other hand, as we said before, we can't say Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish would say that there's no difference, because then they should have used the expression Nechosim Elu. And that would be the bigger Chiddush, that even then it expires when it's not in his Rishus. So rather, we have to answer, they're actually talking about different things. You're right. In fact, they're not actually arguing at all. Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are talking about the case where he says Nechosai and saying, therefore, so what that tells us is, once they're not as Nechosim anymore, then it's Mutter. Rav and Shmuel, meanwhile, are talking about what he says. These Nechosim, the Ran has a slightly different gear, so he says Nechosai Elu, these Nechosim of mine, but the point that he says my Nechosim, which are these. The fact that he says both, it means, in other words, that we focus on the fact that he said Nechosai, my Nechosim. So Veloy Pligi, so they're not actually arguing, they're actually talking about different cases. So in other words, the Ran explains, the Ran points out an interesting point. Throughout the sugya, we've been mentioning Rav and Shmuel first, and then Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Why are we mentioning now Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish at the end of it? Why are we mentioning them before Rav and Shmuel? So he says that maybe because what it is we're so far we've been assuming throughout the sugya that Rav and Shmuel have said something, and now Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are replying to it and saying what this case that you, Rav and Shmuel, are saying that it would still remain osir. We say in at least one of those cases it will be mutter. Now the Gemara is saying that actually they're not really addressing each other's cases at all. Each one is talking about a completely different case. Therefore, the Gemara puts Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish first to show that point, to show that here in the Maskana, they're not actually referring to what Rav and Shmuel are saying. They're saying something independent on their own. So now we would understand then that. So now, what it is, Rav and Shmuel are going to say that. So now, according to the Ran, all four Amiroyim are going to understand the Mishnah the same way. We're talking about, he said, Nechosai Elu. He said, these Nechosim of mine. So the fact that he said, even though he said in Chosai, the fact that he said Elu would mean they would be also after Shemitah comes.
Even though he said
but he also said Elu. So now Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are going to say that they're going to say though that the fact is anytime so again Rav and Shmuel are going to say even though he said Nechosai but he said Elu, so therefore it remains in effect even during Shemitah. Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are going to agree that the Mishnah is talking about Nechosai. But they're saying that they're just saying if he only said Nechosai, then in fact they wouldn't be Osir. So therefore we have to be talking about that the Mishnah is talking about we said Nechosai Elu. So they're all understanding that it's talking about Nechosai Elu. So the argument is really just does the Elu have an effect? Do we focus on the Elu or do we focus on the Nechosai?
The two that say Nechosai.
So Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish focus on the Nechosai, therefore, when it's not in his Rishus anymore, then it would be Mutter. Yeah. On the other hand, if he says Nechosai Elu, if he says Nechosim, then it'll remain also. That's according to the Ram. The Rosh understands that actually there does end up being, when the Gemara says Veloy Pligi, there is actually you still do have the Yochanan and Rish Lakish versus Rav and Shmuel are still disagreeing how to shtel ayin the Mishnah. Is the Mishnah talking about what he said Nechosim or what he talks about Nechosai? The Rosh learns that would still be the difference, that Rav and Shmuel would understand that when Rav and Shmuel say the words Nechosim Elu, they're understanding that he said the words Nechosim Elu, these Nechosim. Where Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish then would be saying that he's talking about that it's talking about what he said Nechosai. So according to the Rosh, there is still a machloikas, not so much in the din, but how to understand what is the scenario that the Mishnah is talking about.
The Mishnah doesn't say
one way or the other. He just said that the Mishnah just said in general that Hamudu Ano Mechaberu Lifnei Shvius and Noashvius, right? But ultimately, when we say Veloy Pligi, according to the Ran, it comes out they're not really arguing at all. They're actually talking about different cases. And according to the Rosh, there still is an argument how to understand the Mishnah, but nevertheless, in practical halacha, it doesn't make a difference because they each agree to each other's scenario. They're all going to agree that if he says Nechosim, it'll remain Osir, and if he says Nechosai, then it won't be. Yeah. Next, the Gemara says the Mishnah had said of Ashvius in Yod L'Seich Sedei Mechula. We said that in this case of Mudr Hana. So we said he's not allowed to go into the field, but he is allowed to eat from the notus from the fruit that's hanging outside of the field.
Now the hangover of field and the ones that form the floor is the same.
The pastures would be the same thing. I mean,
the floor for sure. It's like.
Well, when it falls on the ground, I mean, it's more heftier.
Right.
Yeah, but it, still, if you say that it was also as a result of, especially if you go according to what the stipler is saying, that's also because it's gedulim, because it's growth from his field, and his field still remains in his. It's still field to a certain extent still remains in his possession. Then you still might say even the ones that fall off might be also. Okay. So the question is. So we said he's not allowed to go into the field, but he is allowed to eat from the ones that hang over. So the Gemara asks, "My shna de oichel min anoitus." So why are you telling me he's allowed to eat from the ones that hang over? The pair to death kerianun. The reason must be because the pair is a hefker because it's during Shemitah. Well, ara nami aftera. Well, isn't the land itself something that he made hefker as well? So then why shouldn't the other guy be allowed to walk into the field? Now there is an interesting point over here, which is there are different gersois among the rishonim. Is the word afkara or is the word rachmana afkara? Is it that the Gemara is saying that he, the owner of the field, declared it hefker, or is it saying that Hashem declared it hefker because Shemitah? An interesting nafkamina between that comes up. There's a famous machloikas of the Beis Yosef and the Mabit, one of the chacham of his times, of Moshe Trani, where they argued on the question, during Shemitah, is it that you have to be mafkir the land, and if you weren't mafkir it, then it's not hefker, or is it that it automatically becomes hefker? The Beis Yosef holds that you have to make it hefker, and if not, then it still remains, it's not hefker, with whatever implications that is. It would include, for example, you might be chayiv and maisvus for it. On the other hand, the Mabit argues and says that no, it becomes hefker regardless. So that will depend, for one thing, on the two different Gersois over here, whether we're saying that Hashem made it Hefker, which would be like the Mabit says, versus if you say he made it Hefker, which would be more like what the Beis Yosef says.
Hashem made it Hefker, then you can walk into the field.
Well, that's the question. So if we say Afkara, if we say Rachmana Afkara, means Hashem has made it Hefker, why is Reuven not allowed to walk into that field? If you say the Gersa is Afkara, that he, Shimon, that he, Shimon, made it Hefker, then again, the question is why Reuven can't walk in.
Both ways.
Either way, yeah. So the Gemara says, Oma Ula, ba'umdin ilonis alak Reuven. So Ula says, you know what? You're talking about when you have trees that stand by the border, by the edge of the field. So the reason you're not allowed to go in is because not necessary to. You're just as well able to pick the fruit without going into the field. So therefore you have no business going into there. So now the Rosh actually wonders, would that be the case only in the case of on Mishnah where he's Mudu Hana, or maybe would that be more across the board that any time you're able to pick the fruit without going into the field, maybe you're required to do that rather than trampling on the guy's field.
You wouldn't say that's the difference between Shvius now and during the year.
During the year, you're not allowed to pick the fruit anyway. It doesn't belong to you. But the question would be during Shemitah, where the fruit is Hefker. So the Rosh is saying what Ula is saying is that only the Mudu Hana, only Shimon, only Reuven, rather, who is also Tav Hana from Shimon, is not allowed to go into the field because he can just as well pick the field. He can pick the fruit from the edges. But anybody else would be allowed to. Or what we're saying in general, that nobody is allowed to because they can just as well pick it from the outside. But anyway, according to Ula's explanation, it would come out that Reuven would be allowed to go in to pick fruit from the trees that are in the middle of the field, since the only way to get to them is by walking through the field, and since the field is Hefker, then therefore he's allowed to do that for purposes of getting the fruit. Again, that's talking about, subject to what we were discussing before about the Machlokas Amoraim and how to understand the Mishnah. Are we talking about where the Neder was made during Shemitah, or we're talking about where the Neder was made before Shemitah, and now we're saying that Shemitah came and it overrides it because not in his Rishul Sefer. So if he made it during Shemitah, then for sure he has no ability to ask for his payers because they don't belong to him. So therefore, no question that Reuven can take those payers. But the question would be, if the Neder was made before, is it still in effect? So that's the thing. We distinguish between whether we ended up saying, distinguishing whether he says Nechosai or Nechosim or Nechosai Elo or whatever. So that's Ula's answer. Rav Shimon ben Yochim says no, has nothing to do with whether it's by the edges, whether it would have been possible to get it without walking in or not. It's only gzera shemi yishaba midah. We make a gzera, even though, yes, in principle, he should be allowed to go in to pick from any trees, but we make a gzera because he might stay there too long. After all, he's a mudu hana. He's not allowed to have hana any more than is necessary. So if he goes in there and he stands around in the field a while, then he's going to be over on the neder, because the whole reason the field is hefker is only in order to gather the pears. If you're not there to gather the pears, then a mudu hana has no business being in that field. So therefore, it would come out that it wouldn't even matter whether the tree is by the edge of the field or in the middle of the field. Either way, Reb Shimon ben Yochim would say he's also to go in to get them midrabanan because he might stay there too long. Which we had the other day, for example, we had in the case of Bikur Cholim, we talked about standing rather than sitting. And the Gemara also mentioned the point of it, he might sit too long. So there, the Ran explained that since he has to stand, and when you visit a sick person, you have your choice of standing or sitting, the very fact that he's standing is going to be a hecker for himself not to stay there too long. Here, on the other hand, in a field, it's normal to stand. Therefore, there's no hecker. And therefore, we're concerned, says Reb Shimon ben Yochim, that you're going to end up standing there for too long.
If you get tired.
He might get tired, but fine. He might stand there longer than is necessary to pick the pears. Therefore, you're not allowed to go into the field at all. Because then you're having hana that you shouldn't.
But if again, if stuff is in the middle, you have
Therefore, it doesn't matter. Shimon Yochim says either way, you're not allowed to go in to pick. So that's why the Mishnah is saying you can pick from the ones on the edges, because the ones on the edges, you're not going into the field. Therefore, there's no problem that you're going to forget and stay there longer than necessary. But any one that requires going into the field, so again, according to Ula, you would be allowed to. If there's no way to get them other than to go into the middle of the field, then Ula would allow it. But Shimon Yochim is saying even that, not midrabanan. The Rambam passed him, but Reb Shimon ben Yochim, and in fact, the Noisa Kalim discuss why, I mean, in the face of it, according to him, it's only an Isur de Rabbanon, maybe we should be Mekel, but nevertheless, that's how he passed him. It's not an issur on an issur because they have an issur daraisa to not be over on a neder, and here you have a gzeira derabanan to not go in there and stay there too long. Okay. Shkayach, everyone.